radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will join us from the Hill. Tim Riley will return from the Ministry of Truth. And we'll find out the... You got a whole list of things that happened to you in Wisconsin, right?
Yes, well, things I noticed and things that happened to me. And I wrote them all down on a napkin at the Drippy Creek Saloon number 2 in Neillsville, Wisconsin.
Are you sure these were real Amish people?
They totally... Yeah, they were real Amish people.
But they were drinking?
No, but I learned something about the Amish.
Is that they have horns?
No, well, I saw an Amish guy in the gas station getting gas for some reason after his buggy was parked outside, and he totally smelled.
And he smelled of what?
He smelled like horses, but not like horse manure, but like a barn.
Okay. And like, what was like he getting gas for?
I don't know. He was talking to the attendant. He had a gas can in the back of his buggy.
Right.
And so he was looking to fill that. I don't know what for.
All right.
I guess they can use gas if it's for, like, gas for chainsaws. For business, but they can't use it for electricity?
I think that they just can't. I think that the Amish draw, like I'm some expert on the Amish, but I think as I understand it, the Amish can use modern technology if it's not perceived to be something that will take away from family time.
Well, what else is weird is that it says, you know, they say that they can't use the telephone or anything like that,
right.
But the Amish can have a payphone installed at the end of their driveway when it's done on their property and use that phone since it's not their property, it's property of the state.
And so it doesn't belong to them.
So it doesn't belong to them. It doesn't make them proud, which means they can use the phone. It's all very weird. I found all these loopholes. It was bizarre.
All right. Let's, hold on. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Hello, sir.
Hey, yo.
What's up with you?
Not much.
Was it last week that you just inexplicably dissed us by not showing up, or was it the week before?
Ooh. God, that's so many weeks, though.
It really is. I don't know. Maybe it was interrupting your spinning class or something. Did I tell you that we work with somebody who spins right next to you?
Yeah, you did tell me.
All right.
You know, probably it's like after you told me that anecdote, then I was so angry I
was dead to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, let me ask you this. To the best of your knowledge, did you people at the Oregonian, did you ever hear about the guy that tossed himself off the Paramount Hotel?
Jeez, I don't know. When did that happen?
About 3 weeks ago.
Why did he do it?
It was the day before Joshua Jackson.
Presumably feeling down about things. I don't know. Yeah, it was the same day. It was Tuesday. It was the same day that Britney Spears got... It was Election Day. That's how I know, because it was the busiest day ever. It was the election. Britney Spears got divorced. They evacuated the Macy's downtown because it caught on fire. That truckload of grease spilled over on I-5. And then a guy tossed himself off the Paramount Hotel.
Whoa.
And they were having to give the streets a good power hosing later, and then there was no mention of it ever anywhere.
Was he hurt?
that Peter Carlin.
That razor sharp wit.
He's a jokester.
Well, I'm sorry about all that. I wish that hadn't happened.
I'm just saying, it's just one of those, it is an interesting phenomenon on this program, and I only say that because, not to be overly morbid about it, but just because we are sort of, we're fascinated by sort of urban legends and the flow of information in our society.
Mm.
For example, we have recently created on this program and sent out into the world, like a little toddler, an urban legend of our own that it's like in those horrible BC comics, that comic strip where the guy like writes something on the tablet and tosses it into the river and waits for it to come back later with a response.
Okay, what's your myth?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, Peter
okay.
Carlin. Now I'll reveal it to you only.
Okay.
We air like many radio stations, public service announcements featuring McGruff the crime dog.
Mm.
And so Tim Riley noted, he claimed that it was, we were listening to this McGruff the crime dog PSA spot, and Tim Riley, that's not the real McGruff, that's an imposter. And we got into this whole discussion about whether or not it is the real McGruff and whether it's the same voice actor that has been McGruff all these years. And I claimed it was the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we got into this whole raging debate on the show about whether or not it was the real McGruff. It turns out that it's not, that the original McGruff guy like retired, and then it's like some other guy does the voice of McGruff the crime dog. That's true, all of that.
Okay.
So the urban legend created by our friend Nate that we have now attempted to spread via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the urban legend we have created.
You hold it on me?
Yes, that the original McGruff the crime dog, the guy who did it, was killed ironically enough, by paradoxically, no, not paradoxically, not ironically either. Well, whatever. That the original voice of McGruff the Crime Dog was killed in a home invasion burglary, you know, was just killed by a breaking and entering guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that now his son attempts to, like, you know, his son attempts to bring justice to the world by doing the voice that his dad used to do.
Really?
See, and that sounds plausible, doesn't it?
Well, you know who the original McGruff was.
No.
The same guy that played Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver.
That's not true.
It is.
No, it's not.
If you can play the urban myth game, so can I.
You're making it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, the urban legend about that guy was that he was killed in Vietnam.
I know.
There's that.
But he wasn't. He was wounded. He got a throat injury, which is why he could voice McGruff this way. It was the only way he could work.
Fantastic. You know, the weird thing about that guy, whatever the hell his name is that he was an LAPD officer for a long time. And I imagine how weird that would be to be pulled over by Eddie Haskell. I mean, that's got to turn your brain inside out a few different times.
Name for me now, sir, the original Eddie Haskell, the one who played him in the pilot.
Was he different than the one who played him in the rest of the Leave It to Beaver series?
Yes, he was.
I got nothing.
Harry Shearer.
Harry Shearer, Spinal Tap?
That's the one.
How old is that guy?
Old.
Damn, I never would have guessed. He would make a terrible Eddie Haskell.
Well, he was a kid then.
Yeah, well, interesting. Go figure. So if you hear that urban legend ever come back to you, that McGruff is now voiced by the son of the original guy who was killed by a criminal, you'll know that that was created right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
Anyway, my point here is that we are fascinated by the traveling of information, how information is spread, how it's leaked, how stories change. And so what's interesting is, and I know that the thing about the guy jumping from the Paramount Hotel is real because we had a couple listeners who witnessed it and were very credible people. And we had a friend of the show went down and, like, called us from the scene, saw the body, saw them giving the sidewalk a good scrubbing and so forth. And yet, a couple hours later, all traces were gone. The window was replaced the next morning. It was never discussed or covered
anywhere. But we saw with our own eyes that window broken out.
I'm sorry, did he go through a window?
Yeah, Sarah and I both saw the window busted out, actually. It was, he jumped out of the toppermost, as John Lennon would say, window, on the very top penthouse, the middle window facing Michael's clothiers, and jumped out. And somehow, the really impressive part is that he was able to, he was able to get past that terrace area that sticks out.
Yeah, where Dragonfish is.
Yeah, there's a little roof that juts out. So as Tim Riley noted, maybe there was a breeze that day.
Whoa.
Because he was able to clear that long jumper style and get all the way out to the street. But the interesting thing is there was just never any mention of it. None of the other radio stations talked about it. It was never in the newspaper. Nobody reported on the news. Unless you were listening to this show or happened to be walking by at that moment, you never would know about it. There you go, Peter Carlin. The more you know.
Peter Carlin, could you do some investigating for us?
You want me to put on my Johnny Deadline fedora?
Put on your thinking toque.
With a little press card.
Yeah, your cub reporter hat and go down there. I'm looking for the big scoop.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Hey, did you hear that Michael Richards, there's a video now on the internet of Michael Richards in blackface?
Yeah, from the old Seinfeld.
Well, no, this is from some movie he did in like 1986.
Oh, really?
Some movie
where... Oh, yeah, he did that on Seinfeld, too.
Did it really? Really?
Remember the whole business with Joseph and his Technicolor coat or whatever the hell that's...
See, I wasn't a big Seinfeld fan, so I actually don't know a lot of stuff.
Oh, it was a terrific thing. It ended up... It was one of those great Seinfeld episodes where reality just gets so bizarrely twisted that by the end, that somehow it involved both Joseph and his Technicolor raincoat...
His dream coat.
And also pimps and hookers. And by the end of the show, Kramer... who was strutting down the street dressed in the Technicolor dream coat, looking exactly like a pimp for no apparent.
Because he was tanning. He was obsessed with, he was dating like an African-American woman, and then he was tanning, and he had fallen asleep in the tanning bed, so his skin was like dark brown. Yeah.
How many times, hadn't that happened many times in that program where his skin ended up getting like it? Didn't that happen when he decided to become a cigar smoker?
Well, then his teeth got all weird.
Yeah, and he was, look away, I'm hideous!
Yeah,
that's a great Kramer moment.
Yeah. No, you know something? I feel kind of badly for that guy. Did we talk about this last week? I can't even...
Well, we talked about it a little bit, but it just continues. It's the story that just won't go away. God, and he was on that Jesse Jackson radio program, which apparently is carried on... I shouldn't have been surprised by this. It's carried on Air America, which I guess should stun no one. But he actually... I had this story this morning. I actually had the story where he said, quote, many of my best friends are African American.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, I mean, I'm sorry, but those guys that went into that club were being jerks. I mean, regardless of whatever.
You almost said irregardless.
I know, and then I corrected myself. I use that.
You've been in Oregon too long.
No. I use that ironically at times.
Uh-huh.
But I figured that wouldn't play on the radio.
It's like when Sarah the other day was talking. She was microwaving something. Sarah was making her lunch, and she said, "Let me know when my food's unthawed." It's like being an honorary Utah.
We had talked about not saying that on the air.
Had we?
You forgetting.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is why, word to wise, don't ever tell Rick anything because it always comes out.
I'm sorry, baby. Rick Emerson forgot about that.
You know you make me crazy sometimes, baby.
No, the...
It'll never happen again.
I was thinking of you the whole time. the guys who were heckling him...
No, they were being jerks.
...were obviously a-holes.
And then he, you know, he's doing this thing... I mean, here's the thing. To me, the paradox comes to this. That, you know, he's famous for playing this kind of... This character who has no social... Or very few social skills. And the whole charm of Kramer was that he would blurt out anything to anybody. You know, I mean, whatever their most hideous feature was, he would go up and immediately ask them about it or proclaim, you know. And so he's this edgy, weirdo guy, you know, like artists tend to be, and kind of a jerk his own self. And so he's up on stage playing this character or being some iteration of Michael Richards'
right.
character, you know, whatever form he takes. And these guys are interrupting him and screwing him up, and so he goes off on him, and maybe somewhere in the back of his mind, he's, you know, playing out, you know, the outer edge of this weirdo character that he kind of plays, and he just went way off the deep end and probably instantly knew that he'd made a mistake.
I don't know. You figure if he instantly knew, he wouldn't have gone back the next night. Or maybe that's it. Maybe he was just trying to, like... You know, I'll just do another show and then
get
people
back on
forget.
The horse, as
yeah,
you put it. And
maybe.
I'm not trying to justify what he said because obviously it was mean and horrible. But on the other hand, those dudes were being mean and horrible too. And now look at him. I mean, they're not like, they're not being particularly graceful.
Is it true that they're trying to get money out of him for it?
Oh, they're trying to get whatever they can get. I mean, they got Gloria Allred or some.
Allred. Oh, she's a horrible woman.
Exactly. And she's like representing them. Like representing them how? For what?
Right.
You know, what to you know, I bet, I swear to God, I would be willing to wager $100 Canadian that they try to sue him for something.
Oh, I think it's already happening, actually. I'm pretty sure. This is sort of like the Britney story and the O.J. story, where it's like about every 5 minutes it changes somehow, so it's difficult to keep track of.
But they're going to sue him for like some sort of, like, you know, loss of...
Mental anguish.
Mental anguish.
I was the subject of ridicule. It's going to be like those idiot frat boys in the Borat movie. You know what I mean? I instinctively dislike anybody who is represented by Gloria Allred. As soon as you retain Gloria Allred to work your side of the night.
Well, yeah.
She really is. You know that woman has a coat made of puppies that she wears around.
A coat she made... Oh.
You know it's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean... So they're just, like, they're turning pro. And I guess, you know, I guess you take your opportunity where you can find them and everything.
Well, that sort of is the lesson of America, right? That, I mean,
If they had found some sort of graceful way to say, wow, you know, we were really shocked and alarmed and... You know, but we're, you know, and we're sorry, but that it all happened and it really hurt our feelings, then I would feel worse for them because they would seem like decent people.
Well,
I'm thinking about the way they're behaving that makes me feel sympathetic towards
well,
them.
Well, that's the problem with these guys and just being so jerky about it is it does, the problem is it does make it easier than to minimize, you know, kind of the legitimately horrible nature of the crap that he said.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it easier to go, well, yeah, he's a racist, but these guys, you know, and that... That's, you know, so that you're...
I don't think he was a racist. I think he may not be. Maybe he is. I don't know. But from what we know of that moment, it seemed to me that he was just, you know, he's playing with power, you know, in the way that comedians wander off into this kind of subversive netherworld. And that's part of what the thrill and the humor is of live comedy. He just went and, I mean, he was doing that same thing, only he screwed it up. You know, it's like dropping a fly ball or, you know, not turning the double play.
Maybe. I'd be curious to kind of know if that's a recurring theme
yes,
in his comedy, because I think,
I mean, it doesn't make him look good. It makes him look bad. But I can't say that you can categorically say he blurted the stuff out.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If it's a thing that he has kind of done in the past, if, in other words, if he, because, I mean, there is, I mean, we're certainly no prudes in this regard. I mean, there is, you know, comedy that talks about cultural or ethnic or social or racial differences is a completely legitimate form of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing, I'm not the, you know, I don't think anybody really shies away from that on you know, you pick a show. You pick whether it's, you know, Howard Stern or whether it's, you know, whether it's The Daily Show, whether it's this show. I mean, they're sort of subverting that kind of comedy as you talk about. So I'd be curious to know whether it's a thing that he has kind of mined in the past as legitimate comic material,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's like, you know, he just woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day. I think that's kind of the difference with that guy.
You know, and maybe he was trying, you know, maybe in his ears in that moment, he heard it with a level of, you know, some kind of ironic distance to it or something. Only no one else heard it that way.
Yeah, right.
And again, if he's got a history of this kind of behavior, if there are other, you know, moments where, you know, then all bets are off, then it becomes a different story or becomes a different, you know, becomes a different situation. But just from that one discrete moment, and I feel like in his flummoxed, you know, way, he's definitely, you know, seemed distraught.
Well, he just seemed confused more than anything else. He did have that kind of, that look like when you know, when a puppy gets kicked or something, that's sort of like, what did I do? You know, just the very sort of befuddled.
Yeah.
Not so much a deer in a headlight, kind of like a deer on Valium kind of a look, just sort of dazed and not quite sure what's going on. So, hey, here's a question, more to the point though. Can we put a giant pyramid in your front yard?
A pyramid?
No, a pyramid.
A pyramid?
A pyramid made out of beer cans?
In my front yard?
Yeah. Would you be okay with that? Would your homeowners association or neighbors be fine with that?
Well, we'd have to worry about Mrs. Carlin.
Well, that's okay. I'm sure I can charm Mrs. Carlin.
What were you planning to do with the pyramid?
Well, we've been laboring under this for like a week and a half on this program. We've been trying to find, it all started, there was this guy in McMinnville about, 2 weeks ago, and he apparently is getting into the Guinness Book of World Records because he's created the world's largest ball of rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing was, it's all been done with the ball of bands, the ball of twine, ball of string, ball of foil, ball of whatever. And as I said, one of the constant things that we're fascinated with on the show is the manipulation of the media and how the media functions.
Yeah.
And so it is my belief that that's one of the easiest ways to manipulate the media is to put a large pile of things together that have never before been in a large pile, and then just call the news crew. And they'll come out and be fascinated by, look, this guy's created a large pile of things that never before existed in a pile of this size. Let's put it on the news.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. The one way that I would say okay to do it in my house would be if we could get to kick it off, like an opening ceremony or whatever, we get the guy who used to play Eddie Haskell to show up.
I could probably get Tina Yothers back here. What else is she doing these days? So, I'm just saying. So, and so our thing is to get the world's largest pyramid and then to unveil it holiday style at some point before the end of the month. So that's, we're casting about for play. Our initial plan is to have it in Pioneer Courthouse Square and just, like, raise it up right next to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really know who's, you know, this is sort of a party line we're talking on, so you never really know if the neighbors are listening.
Would it be a Christmas pyramid or would it be a holiday pyramid?
I don't know. We're an inclusive people on this program. Everybody likes to get drunk. Everybody likes to drink. It's something we can all agree on as people,
If you don't say Christmas, you're actively trying to destroy it.
Why does Rick Emerson hate America?
Yeah.
All right. We don't have a lot of time to talk about actual television stuff here, but the next time, presuming that, you know, you don't just callously ignore our request to come on, next time you're on, do you watch that show Heroes?
Sometimes. But you know what the weirdest thing is?
I have no idea. You got six toes on one foot?
No, but this guy that is like, this guy named Tim Sale, who's this comic book artist who was the, who now is like somehow their guiding light in the creative aspect of that show.
Right.
Draws the comic books that show up there and apparently does those paintings that show up in that guy's apartment.
See, and I don't know because I've never seen it.
All right. He was a swimming coach at my high school.
So
I knew him 28 years ago.
Is he also shaving years off his age, Peter Berg style?
You know, no, I think he's sticking with it. He was 7 years older than me then, and he's 7 years older than me now.
Fantastic. I'm now 28, by the way, just so you know.
Sweet.
All right. Peter Carlin, my friends are reading in print in the Oregonian or online at OregonLive.com.
But, no, I'm sorry, but just weren't you asking me a question about Heroes? Do I watch it? I have seen several episodes.
I'm just saying, in the back of your mind has somehow, because you know, whatever thoughts, you just be forewarned the next time we talk.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot of shows that I feel like I ought to be watching that I'm not.
Dude, that's not one of them. Trust me.
Well, never mind then. The whole question's been obviated.
All right.
never mind. Just then clean your mental slate once again.
Go about your business.
Nothing to see here. All right. Now I got to go check the Eddie Haskell thing and see if I can get that guy to come up here. All right. And best to you and all the little Carlins as well.
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. All right. It's 503-733. 2970. My timeline is all out of whack.
Now yeah, we're a break behind.
And we got Tim Riley that we haven't gotten to yet. Let's see, we've got this. Subject line, you are effing crazy. Pleased to be smacking Rick with a reality stick. The tree downtown is 60 to 70 feet tall. The number of cans needed to make a pyramid that tall is only a small part of the project. You have some major engineering feats to accomplish. Building it, holding it together, transporting it, erecting it on site. And you want to do all this quickly and surreptitiously. Good luck to you, man. Yeah, I just don't know.
Don't know how we'll get away with that.
We just don't ask. Let's see. Rick, since you are making fun of the Paramount Hotel, you are all going to hell. Since I am laughing so hard right now, I am going there as well. I will save you a spot in line. Let's see. 500 empty beer cans weighs about 25 pounds. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Susan Reynolds is weighing and saying, "Is this something I need to be? Is this something I need to be worried about?" Nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Nothing to worry about. No problem at all. Let's see. We have okay. Here we go. This is the definitive answer on how tall the tree is. The Christmas tree in Pioneer Courthouse Square is 70 feet tall, and an average. Let's see. Somebody sent me how tall an average beer can was. Hold on a second. Let's see here. An average, let's see, the beer can is... God, where did I just... I've lost it now. No, I got nothing. A guy had sent me a list of how tall the average beer can was. And then the question is, like, what do we put on top of it? Let's see. Okay, a can of... A 12-ounce can of PBR is 5 inches tall. So that's two of them is a foot. So that's 140 tall. So 140 beer cans tall, and then if you did 100 across, that's nothing, man. We could, man, one good night of drinking, this audience could assemble that. Nah, I'm not worried about the number of cans. It really is just a question of how you take it there and how you can assemble it in chunks, and then what would hold the sections together strong enough so that you could raise it up without it coming apart. Unless you could lower it from somewhere. What if you could lower one section of it onto... Okay, I got to put a pin
in
this.
We've got to
come back and talk about this later.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. How are you, sister?
Hey, what's going on, my friend?
We're attempting to create the world's largest pyramid of beer cans.
Uh-oh. What?
Well, you asked. See, when you ask that question, you never quite know what the answer's going to be. For some time on this program, you've got your problems, we've got ours. You've been looking for a new last name, and we have been endeavoring to create it for you. We, on the other hand, and I was talking to somebody from the Oregonian about this, that it is my belief in America that you can get press coverage if you just assemble a large pile of things that have never before been put in a large pile. And so we have been asking the audience to fill in the blanks in this sentence. The Rick Emerson Show is assembling the world's largest blank of blank. And then we had everything. We had, like, ball of earwax. We had the jar of spits. You know, any number of horrifying and probably impractical suggestions. But what they have recently done here, I think last week they lit this, they brought up a huge Christmas tree in Pioneer Courthouse Square, which is sort of the center of downtown Portland. And so we are now endeavoring to create the world's largest pyramid of beer cans, or pyramid, as the kids often call it, which we will then erect right next to the Christmas tree sometime as we approach the holiday season.
What do you guys think about Lisa and Jason Pyramid? I don't know. I thought it could all tie in together somehow. I love it. I think that's the perfect task.
I think if you're looking to do a morning show somewhere, you guys might be all set.
I'm in trouble because of you guys, because he's actually now heard everything that's been going on this radio show.
Your fiance, Jason Sporbert?
Jason Sporbert.
Now, how has he heard about it, unless he lives in Portland and I'm not aware of that?
Well, I fessed up to him. I felt like I kind of had to tell him.
Oh, I see. So he hasn't heard about it so much as you, like many women, felt the need to tell him something
right.
You knew he didn't want to hear.
Yes, perhaps. Well, he actually has listened to your podcast.
Oh, I see. Hello, Jason. Thank you for listening.
That's
glad you're out there.
So one of
pity about the name. I'm sorry?
He needs to get on and clear the air out. I'm not quite sure on what.
Jason Sporbert is free to call in anytime.
Tell him, yes.
Anytime he'd like.
Yeah.
Is he home? We can call him now.
You know, he's at work working for our government, helping our government run more smoothly.
What, you don't have to be very specific about this, but what kind of government work does Jason Sporbert do?
Right. No, he's a consultant. You can either give, you know, he's a good consultant. He really is a good guy. But he's right now working for the Patent and Trade Office, which anyone out there who's been trying to invent anything knows it is really just a big sop of goo. It takes a long time to get anything through that office.
He's a consultant for the Patent and Trade Office?
Yes.
Do government monopolies really need consultants? What is he consulting? I'd like it to be even more slow and inefficient.
I know, it's wild. And he says that, too. And he says what's amazing, though, is that the people who work there here in our nation's capital or right outside it, there literally are people sleeping at their desks. They're literally, he says the consultants are the ones because their bosses are sort of right on top of them that they have to work. And he says a lot of the government workers in his particular neck of the woods, for instance, one woman, I think at one point actually told him she was supposed to do a particular project. It was due the next day. He was checking in on it. And she said, no, literally said to him, I'm not having fun. I'm not going to do that. And she didn't.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Working there. So if anyone interested in that kind of a job, Patent and Trade Office, I hate to badmouth anybody, but it's not looking pretty from...
We've already spent many, many assembled minutes of airtime maligning his last name that his parents are probably proud of. So really moving on to his job just seems like the next logical step.
Well, I feel bad I've stolen the spotlight from your pyramid. When is this really going to happen?
Well, there is some question about how many beer cans we'd like it to be at least as high as the downtown Christmas tree. But
okay.
There's some question about how many beer cans and then the physical logistics.
Right.
Because as height is squared, I think weight is cubed or something. And so there's the question of how do you raise the beer can up? Do you have to assemble it in pieces? Is it going to be crushed under its own weight? Are the cops just going to come and beat me senseless and mace me? I mean, there are just so many questions and so little time before Christmas is upon us. So,
hey, and can you use glue? I mean, have they got to be freestanding, full beer cans?
Now, there's way too much wind for that. My question is, could you have it in large chunks and then sort of Velcro the sections together?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And see, it's not like a snowman where you can build the round bottom and then the middle and then, the thorax section. And then the top.
Of the snowman.
That's if you're making an insect snowman. Because this would actually be so high that I don't know from where you would lower the top. But see, fortunately, as I said, the Rick Emerson audience is sort of the power of distributed computing. So any question we ask, the people will inevitably have the answer for. So.
Right, that's true. Well, you know what you could do is you could make a ladder pyramid next to the beer can pyramid.
Maybe. It's all very confusing. So it's one of those ideas that we sort of floated. And really, now Scotty is reporting that so far the biggest beer can pyramid was 10,000 cans. Is that true? Where was that at? Does it say?
Hmm.
Well, this. Okay, but if it wasn't just a pyramid though, I'm saying if it was like an actual. Okay, if it was an actual Christmas tree though. All right. Well, you just okay. You work on it. All right.
That doesn't sound that big.
No, I'm. No,
can't see. You put on the bottom. It'd have to be very long, though. You could have it just five or six, maybe ten rows high, and you'd still win. It doesn't have to be high. It could be wide.
We're a can-do kind of people here on the Rick Emerson Show. I feel good that we can do it. All right. Well, can-do. I wasn't even thinking about that. All right. before we go back to discussing Jason Sporbert and all the exciting things in his life.
Yeah. He's so great. I feel bad about his suffering here, but
and his name, and his job. let's talk about Senator Chuck Hagel. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because this sort of seems to be like Charles Rangel and his idea that we're going to reinstate the draft. We have the Senator Chuck Hagel called Sunday for American troops to begin withdrawing from Iraq. The best part about this, though, is that he says a pullout is needed to head off, and I'm quoting now, an impending disaster in the nearly 4-year-old war. it doesn't really seem like it's an impending disaster any more than it's an impending civil war at this point. I mean, when they use phrases like Iraq is an impending disaster, are they just parsing this for the media so they don't get killed by the conservative press, or are they really this out of touch that they think that it's going to become a disaster at some point?
No, I think that is all about parsing it for the media. That has gone through a number of hoops, I'm sure, before that was published in the Post, before the Post even got its hands on it. Because this is a man who's running for president, or he's certainly looking like he's running for president. But what's interesting here is it is all about the language you use to define this Iraq debate. And in just the last, I feel like I've got the breaking news in the last hour. I interviewed Chuck Hagel, as it turns out. And he actually now is using another word to describe Iraq, and he's not parsing it. He's saying straight out he believes Iraq is in anarchy. So that's sort of another new direction in this debate. Some people, is it civil war? Is it anarchy? What is it? Well, I think almost everyone admits it's a mess. You know, and even I'm not scared to parse that.
Well, and I think NBC, there was a press release today that NBC News said actually from now on they are going to be referring to it as a civil war.
That's right. They're actually going ahead with that decision. They know that that's a bit of a political call, but journalists we're supposed to say what is happening. Call it like we see it. And even if the administration says, the sky is red, if the sky is blue, we've got to say it.
Okay, but look, and I don't mean that.
We should also report that the Bush administration says it's not. Now, CNN, it's not, I'm not in Iraq. I don't know if it's a civil war. It's certainly not like the American Civil War. It's a whole different ball of wax.
I don't mean to hold you accountable for the sins of your brethren and so forth, but I mean, really, where was all this? We got to call it like we see it, and we got to be objective. I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when this whole thing, it seems like this is only since this became a de facto lame duck administration that suddenly the press has decided that they got to pull no punches and use brass knuckles and call it like it is.
You know, ever since we got our butts kicked like little girls in the beginning of this war.
Yeah, well.
But I think, honestly, I really do think, and that's not to say that there weren't some things the administration was saying that was right, but we certainly, I think we really were rolling over to a large degree and just say, well, I guess we do have to invade Iraq. And I think because of that, now that's why you see, and I think there's some part you can see the media is still walking on its tiptoes, probably more than it needs to, but. Probably better to err on the side of caution in some of these things.
I think the problem is that Karl Rove and his spin machine, they psyched the media out, my estimation is, they psyched you guys out so badly, and I don't mean to necessarily include you in this, but by saying, well, the media is liberal, they're liberal, they're a tool of the left, they're, you know, they're a tool of, you know, whatever, anti-American, left-leaning, American sympathizing, blah, 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 whatever, that the media then just went overboard in this desire to prove that they were objective, and of course,
yeah, that's right. I think that's right. That's right. We've got to get it right down the middle. But we've been blowing around in the wind, one side to the other, reacting, overreacting, not unlike some politicians as well. But the media's got its own problems for sure.
Yeah, so totally, it's a fair point. Well, I had some other things to do, but there's really just no point except to say that is it true now that we've been in Iraq longer than we were in World War II?
Yes, the combat time in Iraq is now one day longer, I believe, than the combat time in World War II.
It just doesn't even seem possible. All right. Well, in any event.
I got to go. No,
it's fine. Now that we've ended on a massive down note.
I know.
Now that we've ended on a big buzzkill.
To the pyramid.
All right, now you tell Jason Sporbert he has carte blanche. The door is always open.
All right, I'll tell him.
All right, thank you, Lisa Goddard.
See you, Rick.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. And we're breaking. All right, so behind. All right. Okay, we'll come back. We'll talk to Scott about the pyramid. Jeff has found a way to make this for the children. Excellent. And Tim Riley reports from the Ministry of Truth. When we return, you stay there. Is that still the case?
Oh, yes. Nothing's changed.
Your windshield wipers only work when your high beams are on. And if you turn on your... When you change lanes, your windshield wipers stop working?
Yeah, when I turn on my blinker, even if the high beams are on, my windshield wipers turn off. And then they start again once the blinker's off.
All we need is some black ice, and you're going to be all set.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to
it. Is this program almost over? And I don't mean that like, am I almost done? I just mean this it's zipped by again. It is. We should have a fifth hour. Thank you, Bruce Agler.
And I didn't get to my list of things about Wisconsin.
Here's what I didn't get through so far, and I'm just copping to this right now.
But this is going to be dated.
I haven't gotten to this thing about a guy who wants us to help punish the brother. I swore to God I was going to get to the Inquirer today. I haven't gotten to this thing about the worst noise in the history of the world. I got all this Britney sex news. Got this guy,
I thought you did the Britney sex news.
Man has sex with dead deer. What?
Ooh.
Hmm?
I thought you did the Britney sex.
Oh, no, there's always more. And then there's things. Have you seen this hot chick that plays Mary in the new Nativity film?
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the pregnant one?
Yeah, she's underage, so I only love her aesthetically and from afar. She's a fine example of a female.
She'll develop into a fine young lady.
A fine adult lady in 2 years when I will openly fantasize about her. I'm just saying now.
Until then.
Here's the hot thing, though. She's that girl that was in Whale Rider. But did anybody see Whale Rider? No.
Oh, she is knocked up, though. I remember she's like, what, 16?
Knocked up 16 and plays the Virgin Mary. Bam! In that new Nativity film.
She'll become a star.
That's a mistake, Wayne Abbin. We'll love each other forever.
Already a little star in my world. The father of her baby is Bradley Hull, her 19-year-old boyfriend, who's a statutory rapist. All right. I think. It would seem.
Oh, this modern world.
The movie's directed by Catherine Hardwick. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's our simple petrifying.
What?
It's snowing again.
Now it's snowing again.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, do we have the terrifying storm news?
Yes, we do.
You're all going to die.
Just moments ago, it was raining sideways. Now it's snowing in a perpendicular manner. Who knows what's going to happen next?
It's all dark outside.
You betcha this is the end of it all. I hope everyone has enough toilet paper on hand.
And a year's supply of canned goods.
Mm-hmm. I have the lima beans. With wintry forecasts on the horizon, the city of Portland is now prepared. Snow is expected on the valley floor. Accumulations above 500 feet. Temperatures dipping below freezing after sunset. The city fathers have been monitoring the situation, applying anti-icing chemical to major thoroughfares and hazardous areas, preparing to send out plows and sanders if snow accumulates on streets. So do be careful. You should carry some kitty litter with you in case you can't make it to the restroom in time. Also, some anti-traction devices, anti-freeze. Don't let the kids get a hold of that. How about a flashlight, some jumper cables, some abrasive materials, sand, shovel, warning devices, blankets, ice scrapers, snacks. Remember, bridges and overpasses, more slippery than the roadway. Don't abandon your car alongside the roadway. Get out as soon as you can.
Stay there and freeze to death, slowly and alone.
Treat traffic signals that aren't working with disdain.
By the way, antifreeze is tasty, just so you know. It is. It tastes. It's sweet and tasty.
So do be careful out.
Now so don't drink it. I'm saying you got to watch people around it because it is tasty.
The direction of the snow keeps changing direction.
It's snowing.
A minute ago,
it's
snowing.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's
to the right. Now it's both ways.
This is fantastic radio.
I can see snow piled up on the back window of a car in the parking garage where Scotty is parked.
Where he thinks it's safe.
No, it's about that parking
nothing
garage.
Is safe in the snow.
That parking
nothing
garage is a wind tunnel. And the problem is, this happened last year because I was trying to shop some weekend last year and the snow was blowing into the parking garage. And inside the parking garage, it's also oil covered because, of course, it's like 50 years of cars leaking oil inside that place. They never clean it.
No.
And so inside there, it was snow-covered oil. And, man, there was a pileup inside the parking garage last year. They never really talked about it on the news, but, man, there was a pileup inside there.
I had to walk because, you know, being on the news and working in the media, there is no excuse to not be at work. You have to get at work to tell other people how miserable it is. So when
listen
I was
to that
point,
haughty, like, self-righteous tone.
Dude,
working in the media, there is no excuse.
Well, it sucks. I'm like, well, do I have to come in? Because
absolutely.
None of the cabs were running. Yeah,
news
absolutely.
Never stops,
I had to walk from my apartment on 22nd and Hawthorne, all the way down Hawthorne, across the bridge to the coin tower at 2:30 in the morning. Yes, Nate walked me down.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. Sorry about that. That's okay. I'm going to bleep that. Sarah, did that dump?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to make sure. Thank you. I'm going to bleep that. Well.
Sometimes we're just too truthful on this
program. A little
program.
Too zealous.
Yes.
No, but I know, and look, not to be all about the glory of us, I do know what you're saying, though, because...
Yeah, I walked in the ice
for
an hour and a half.
Hey, Dad.
For an hour and a half.
I had to make... Thank you, Dag, exactly.
It was really cold.
We had a coal-fired stove in our one-room schoolhouse. They used to beat me with a stick. No, what I was going to say is, and I hate to point the finger, salespeople... I can't get to work. I can't get out of my... I'll have to telecommute to work today. It is always Salespeople. I hate to say it. It's true. Salespeople and sales assistants who are always calling it. I'm not going to be able to make it in. No, it's just, it's too difficult here in Vancouver. I'm not going to be able to make it to work. And yet somehow we were here every day.
Every time it snowed since all of us have been on the program together, none of us have missed a day.
You can depend on us.
We have never, the Rick Emerson Show, we have never missed a day due to weather.
Mm-hmm.
Never complain.
Never, no. And
it is our duty to you.
I remember at KOTK.
I complain frequently.
It was totally snowed. I remember it was just a horrible snowstorm.
Terrible.
It's true. No, and you're right. I didn't walk all the way, but I did walk about halfway one time to KFCK because in my car, it was so bad, I actually pulled into like a Safeway parking lot about halfway there and left my car and then walked the rest of the way to work.
I remember walking down Hawthorne Boulevard when no cars were going on. It was just full of people walking downtown.
That's what I'm saying.
I remember starving because the sack machine would not accept dollar bills.
I remember once when the Domino's often took 90 minutes to arrive to the office while I was there. All right. Fantastic.
But did we complain?
No. Well, I do.
No.
I complain.
Actually, I like snow days when we're here and nobody else is.
You know
it's
what?
It's pretty fun.
It's because this program, it's because
snow has stopped.
It's because the Rick Emerson Show is devoted, tireless. Just us and the mailmen. Because, you know, the mailmen, that's the other thing. They don't screw around. The mailmen really do that.
Mm-hmm.
The mailmen, as much as we make fun of that, you know, sleet and snow
drivers.
And gloom. Bus drivers, that's it. And buses, it's even, actually, the great thing is when it snows, the buses don't stop. The buses run 24 hours a day because the city does that.
They just strap a plow on the front of them, don't they?
So, and chains. And the city does that. The city, to clear the homeless out of the road. The city has the buses run 24 hours a day to keep the roads clear. Just a constant, because that way they can't ice over. They put chains on them and the buses run because
and it keeps the gas lines from freezing.
Is that true?
I would suppose so, yes.
What gas lines?
And the buses.
Are there gas lines? Gas lines wouldn't freeze anyway. Gas doesn't freeze.
Oh, never mind. Maybe that isn't
true. Oh, like the wires?
No, not the wires.
Oh, I wonder about those, too, though. You're right.
Those would freeze if the trains did not run 24 hours.
But I think the max runs 24 hours. Yeah, because that little, that thing above it, that it'd be...
That's called the pentagram.
The what?
I think it's called the pentagram.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong about that.
Something a gram.
Candygram?
Telegram?
let's see here. Let's get a couple of these. Since we're all going to die, we might as well talk to some... hello, Curtis. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, how you doing today, buddy?
Well, we're all apparently going to die, and we'll have to eat Scotty, but other than that, we're fine.
Sweet. Did you bring sauce?
Scotty makes his own sauce. You just pour water on him, and he makes his own gravy.
Oh, nice. Well, I had a plan for your beer thing there.
Yes.
Can of pyramids.
The pyramid, yes.
The pyramid, yes. You, here's the deal. You got to make it like a charity event, okay? You got to have something to do with all these cans when you're done.
Okay.
So, turn it into a big charity event and donate it all to Dornbecker's. But here's the scheme. You find some people who want to donate space, preferably like a college parking lot,
mm-hmm.
so we're close to our supply.
Okay.
And, you know, you're going to have to rent some scaffolding and whatnot.
Rent some what?
Scaffolding.
Scaffolding.
Yeah, well, if you want 10,000 cans, this can be pretty tall, isn't it?
Sounds like a lot of work.
See, this is the kicker, though. As people bring in the cans, you get them to donate their time and have them glue the cans into little blocks of like 10 by 10.
And then you just assemble the blocks together.
Yes. All and, right. You know, you set up a little donation bin for people to bring in, money donations to go with so-and-so and find somebody to match the money donations from, you know, whatever comes out of the cans, and you turn it into a big charity event. Stamp Rick Emerson on it and put yourself on the top line in the Guinness Book of World Records.
All right. And then plus we're helping children, which, of course, that is foremost in our minds here.
Oh, yeah. It's just taking care of your public service obligation.
No, it is. Yes, then we can quit running that PSA about the thing. All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
There he goes, Curtis. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A Queen of Latifah has been announced as host of the 33rd Annual People's Choice Awards. They will be broadcast live on CBS television from the Shrine Auditorium on Tuesday, January 9th at 9.
What does Queen Latifah do, other than having been in Chicago?
She is a rapper slash actress.
She's not a rapper. No one out there can
She's
sing.
She's been in a bunch of, like, crappy Disney movies.
She does nothing. I know she eats. Thank you, Scotty. No one, haha. No one,
Who doesn't remember UNITY?
What?
Wasn't that her?
I have no idea.
Remember that song?
No.
UNITY?
The only song I know by Queen Latifah is Ladies First. That's it. That's the
I
only
cannot
song.
Believe you don't know Unity.
Sing it for me now.
It goes, I guess I can say it. It's like UNITY, you got to let them know you ain't a bitch or a hoe. Here we go. UNITY.
UNITY? Is this like a positive empowerment song
it is.
For
she,
America's
she has like,
black youth?
Yeah, and she has a, like kids. A hat on and she's doing like this crazy
I don't act. Think it's a hat. I think it's a crown because she is Queen Latifah.
No, it isn't a crown.
It's just a hat?
No,
she's
it's one
from
of those,
a long line
it looks
monarchy.
Kind of like a pillbox hat.
She's from what?
She's from a long line of royal monarchy.
That's really not what I thought you said.
Oh.
I thought you said something much more inappropriate.
Oh, no.
I was just double-checking there.
No, certainly
okay.
not I.
All right. Let's see. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I was just thinking of a good way that you can make it all legal with the, I don't know, city of Portland. You can make it... You can donate all of the cans, the proceeds of the cans, to Dornbecker's or something like that.
And welcome to 2 minutes ago. Yes. No, that's a great... Yes, somebody had suggested that, that way it's for the children.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, just to let you know, the city of Portland downtown is coming to a standstill because there's a whole half a centimeter of snow.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Sarah was talking about this. Sarah, because Sarah has to go to a, you know, she is a, can we say, or should we not say where?
No, it's fine. Yeah.
So Sarah does some stuff at the Doug Fir, which is up on, like, what, Burnside and whatever
like
the hell? Like
Burnside,
eight?
But it's right on the top of that,
the
where the hill starts cresting. Like
where Sandy, splits, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To no man's land.
And, It's a terrifying amorphous gray area
ride.
Of traffic and snow. But she's like, well, should I take a cab? And I'm like, well, I know you can drive there. But the thing is, it's not about, because Sarah's a good driver, it's just that other people become idiots when there's half an inch of snow. And you just came back from Wisconsin. If you told people in Wisconsin that you were going to take a cab in this weather, they would laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would kill you so you didn't pass your weak genes on to the next generation.
Well, Wisconsin was really nice. It was like 55 degrees the entire time and sunny.
Yeah, but when they get snow there, Nate'll say, when they get snow, it's real snow. I mean, it's like real ass snow. All right, Jeff, thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
Okay, and thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, no!
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, maybe I should go outside and report live in a few minutes.
Yes!
Oh, that's totally
that's
true. It's as you can see, it's snowing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What number should I call?
You can just call the hotline.
What number is that?
Scotty will give it to you. I don't know it offhand. Scotty, will you type the hotline number on the... Would you like to go stand at the top of the coin tower?
No.
I can get Sean to take you.
No, that's all right.
It's okay. No. Sean, we'd like to take Tim Riley to the top of the coin tower.
Greg, that is just mean.
No, I'm just kidding.
Darn it, then I'm going to leave right now.
No. Here's the number. You can just go onto the street there. Okay. Yeah, that's the hotline number. Yes.
Should I go outside?
Well, let's do one more. News story, and then we'll have you go out, and I'll take a couple of break, and we'll come back with you giving us the good word.
Why, that sounds delightful.
Fantastic.
Here's a religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Monday, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Conservative Christian groups have called out their plans to boycott Walmart and Sam's Club stores post-Thanksgiving Day sales in Middle Tennessee. Groups such as the American Family Association and Operation Save Walmart had planned to organize prayers outside the stores in Carthage and Cookeyville, holding signs that said Walmart supports sodomy and Walmart hates God's word. But organizers say they were mollified, at least for now, by a statement issued Tuesday by Walmart. The statement said, Walmart will not make corporate contributions to support or oppose highly controversial issues unless they directly relate to our ability to serve our customers. Walmart does not have a position on same-sex marriage, and we do not give preference to gay or lesbian suppliers.
So what is it? So the nutty Christians back down?
Apparently so.
Well, they have to, because those people need starch and fat in bulk if they're going to maintain those slender physiques that they've got going on.
It said it's a very foolish thing they're doing. They relied on the American family for so many years, now they're turning their backs on.
Seriously, I would like to say right now the Rick Emerson Show absolutely, completely, and totally 100% is in favor of and supports sodomy and the spread of same. We are in favor of sodomy on the Rick Emerson Show, and we are unashamed about that. That is one of the that's one of the pillars of the Rick Emerson Show. The others being, what else are we in favor of? Sodomy?
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
And also,
kittens.
Kittens.
Yes.
Sodomy and kittens. Not at the same time, perhaps, but sodomy and kittens. Right there. That's the platform of the Rick Emerson Show. Right here. Okay, there's your religious nut. Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Darren Scott. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenberger checks in briefly to taunt Scotty for losing at poker. And Tim Riley tells you that it's snowing where he is. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. In a moment, we'll check in with Tim Riley. Yeah, here we go. It's a story. Pregnant Mary embarrasses... What a great headline. Pregnant Mary embarrasses Vatican. The plot of the nativity story is familiar enough, but the parallels between the lives of the Virgin Mary and the teenage actress who plays her are causing controversy. Because this is the best part, is they're screening this new nativity movie at the Vatican. The chick who plays Mary is there. She's 16, unwed mother. Ah, oh, man. All right. Yeah, she is really beautiful, though. Well, what can you do?
Yeah, those days are going to be over.
All right. Let's see. So we'll get to some of these calls here in a second. But first, do we have the weather sounder? Ladies and gentlemen, it's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Reporting on location from, I don't know, about 30 feet from here. Tim Riley at the mobile news desk.
Oh, my goodness. I'm outside here. I'm reporting in cloudy weather. I see several raindrops falling from umbrellas here. There's no precipitation to speak of at the moment, although, let's see, it did snow a few minutes ago. We are waiting for the next downfall. I don't see anybody out here.
Now, Tim Riley, is any of it sticking outside?
There's nothing sticking to anything here at the moment, no.
Is there any wind?
No, I don't sense any wind at all, no.
What about, is it cold?
It's, I would say it's moderately chilly, yes. I don't see any people out here sitting outside or walking or going anywhere. Most people here appear to be in their automobiles.
Are you...
Automobiles?
Are you still able to get to the Quiznos?
I just passed by the Quiznos, and I am journeying now in front of the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building, whoever she may be.
Are you just leaving work and walking to the to the max?
Oh, can you feel the wind? Oh, the humidity. Can you feel the wind?
Is it picking up out there?
Yes. Can you hear it?
Hold on a second. You just talk to Tim for a second. Ask him about
the... Are you checking to see if his bag is gone?
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah, Tim, are you on your way to the max?
I certainly am.
It doesn't look like it's blowing out there because I can usually tell from the tree, and the tree isn't moving.
Let me hold the phone up to the wind.
All of y'all. All of your stuff is gone.
Can you hear that wind?
Yes.
It sounds like you're breathing.
Oh, no, that's the wind.
Are you, in fact, coming back?
Are you kidding me? No, I noticed three leaves just fell to the ground from a tree outside the police bureau headquarters here downtown.
So you're just getting farther and farther away.
Oh, hold it. Somebody just almost ran me over with a car, and the license plate number is... No, I won't do that. Somebody almost hit me.
And right by the police station, too.
Oh, I think I was walking against the light. That could possibly have something to do with it.
Excellent. All right. If it does begin to snow at some point, if there is a deluge of flakes, you'll be sure to let us know.
Certainly, Will, I ripped down your phone number.
All right. Thank you. And let's go out again with the sounder. Thank you. This has been the Tim Riley Storm Watch. 2006. Thank you, Tim Riley.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Yeah, he's gone. I just looked.
I cannot believe he just left.
All his stuff is gone. I went, his computer's turned off, logged out, his bag is gone, his clothing, his jacket's taken with him. Yeah, he's...
A smart man right there.
There you go. I was just outsmarted by Tim Riley. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a couple of these. I'll just kind of take these. We'll get Darren and then Dennis, Joe. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
What's up, Rick? How you doing, man?
How are you doing, brother? How can I help you?
Hey, you know, I had a thought about your pyramid, man.
Yes.
I don't think that you're going to have too much problem getting ready to camp. You know, considering that it's downtown and there's a deposit on every single one of them.
Oh, man, you're true. And they're going to be... They'll have to hire security goons just to beat the homeless people as they get towards us. The homeless people are just going to be descending onto like zombies on a farmhouse.
Well, you know, you could you could donate the cans to the homeless after it's over with.
We don't care about the homeless. We should donate the cans. We should cash the cans in, and then we'll just have a bash for everybody.
There you go.
If we had like a couple thousand cans, Sarah, how much is a beer can when you turn it in?
5 cents.
Yeah, like 5 cents.
So 5,000 cents. That's like $500, right? No, or is it $50 bucks?
Yeah, but you know how long it would take to cash all those in?
This is like when I said that 5 inches and 5 inches was a foot last hour. I suppose it's true. We could make the homeless... What if we did this?
Oh, no.
We have the pyramid in the middle of Pioneer Courthouse Square. It's like 5,000 cans or whatever.
Oh,
and then,
please.
We hold the homeless people back, and then we give them like a checkered flag or whatever it is. We say, like, 3, 2, 1, go, and we let the homeless people charge the tree.
And you can laugh at them because they don't know that the cans are glued together.
And what if the can? Oh, fantastic. We let them charge the tree and fight over the cans. And then we sell that video on eBay.
Yeah.
There you go. That's like three great things in one. Excellent. Excellent.
Right.
Fantastic. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Oh, no!
All right. Darren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Well, Rick, it is snowing where I am.
Is it? Where are you at?
I'm in 72nd and Highway 217.
Are you able? Is this like 2-3 flakes at a time or more?
Oh, no. This is full on. We're snowing.
Really? It's actual snow, not Tim Riley snow?
No, this is big, white, fluffy... wet flakes.
But see, those are, you don't have to worry about those, right? The ones you have to worry about are the small, hard, pellet-like snowflakes, right?
Yeah, the frozen ice is always fun.
Yeah, that sucks. The big, white, fluffy stuff is okay because then that just becomes slush. And then you only have to worry about if it freezes overnight, but it hadn't really been that cold the last couple of nights.
Well, we'll hope.
I say, yeah, now tempting fate. All right.
Now it's going to be 12.
Yeah.
And the reason they run the buses all night is because the fuel, not the gasoline... The fuel being diesel will gel in the tank and make the vehicle more difficult to start in the morning.
Is that true?
Yes.
So diesel
has gel.
Let me just tell you this. I don't really know what diesel is. I know that
it's better than gasoline.
I know, but I mean, it makes me less of a man, I know. But I always thought diesel was like gasoline, but just with something else in it.
Well, it is gasoline. It is made of petroleum fluid, but it's not like gasoline. It's processed differently.
Hmm. What is the advantage of diesel over gasoline?
Well, it burns cleaner. You get more power for less fuel. It stinks funny.
Well, then why doesn't every car run on diesel then?
Because it's more the engines are more expensive, and as of late the stigma is that because it smells when it burns, like in the 80s. Everyone sort of stepped away from that and said, well, I don't want stinky in my garage. But they've really changed that around as of late. I mean, most of Europe drives around on diesel-powered vehicles, whereas we, being the elitists that we are stuck on gasoline.
Well, yeah, that's sort of a metric system standard measurement kind of a thing, too. Yeah, we're always like the latest to do anything like that.
Sort of like the godless Canadians and, you know, how all that.
Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do. All right, thank you, Darren.
Good luck.
All right, there you go. That's Darren. Thank you.
Oh, no!
Let's welcome now Dennis Pitzenbarger to the Rick Emerson Show from the Fuel Show. Hello, sir.
Oh, good Lord, what poppycock.
What?
I'm sorry?
I'm just becoming more and more frustrated with the ability for me to drive anywhere in town because now every weather-scared douchebag in the world's going 30 miles an hour on the freeway.
No, well, that's what I told Sarah. It's a key. The key to driving on ice, which I don't think there is out there, you drive a little slower, but more than that, brake early. That's the most important thing that people never learn. You can't wait until 6 inches before the intersection to brake. And just because you're driving an SUV doesn't mean you can slam on the brakes right as you're getting towards the light.
Well, that's half the problem. Is people with four-wheel drive can get going quicker. The problem is they don't realize it takes twice as much.
No, they think they're superhuman. Yeah.
It's so frustrating because all it means is for the next 3 days, being one of the salespeople that actually will work through the supposed one snow day we have a year.
Now, I don't mean to tar everybody with the same brush. I'm just saying that I can count on zero fingers the number of snow days this show has had, as opposed to the other side of the building, which is often 60% unoccupied when there's a sprinkling of dust out there.
Oh, I believe it. I'll have a much better pick of the donuts tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's just very frustrating. I thought we might touch a little bit on how my wife just basically laid the smackdown on Scotty J.
Oh, yeah. In fact, let's, Scotty, why don't you just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
Thank you.
Oh, no! All right, Scotty J, hello, sir.
How's it going?
All right, do you have headphones over there?
I do not.
All right, here, you can...
That's okay, I don't need them.
All right. You don't need them. You're not going to be listening anyway. You're just going to be speechifying.
Yeah.
Dennis is here to talk about how his wife took your money.
I can go get
mine. At the poker table on the Saturday, which
must
have been...
Now he wants headphones so we can talk back.
Must have been emasculating for you to lose to a girl like that. Would you like to share with the group?
Hey, all I can say is I thought.
Thank you for getting the pizza, by the way.
You're welcome. I thought about it on the way home, and if I would have went all in
a long, lonely drive,
it would have made pretty much everybody go out because they wouldn't be holding on to one diamond.
Have you been replaying that one hand over and over in your head for 3 days?
It's like
that hand where a girl took your money?
Yes.
That's unfortunate, isn't it? All right.
She does it every day to me, but I love her.
Yeah, and he gets to have sex with her.
No, I think it was fine. I think it was gutsy that she stayed in, and great that she won.
The best part is how I predicted, even before the game had begun, that you would be first out and be fetching pizza for us, and yet it took less than 15 minutes for me to be proven correct. That was the satisfying part about it.
There was a moment there, though, when it looked like you were going to start losing your chips.
There was no such moment.
I outlasted
Lara
is a better player than you.
Yeah, she's way better than I am.
I have to give Scotty credit. He at least hung out until everybody ate some pizza and then he left.
No. I'm just giving him crap. He actually played. He played really well, and you're a much better player than I am. Actually, I'm just such a tight player that I can outlast it. I'm usually the only one not getting plastered, so that helps.
Hey, Dennis. As a side note, I got that money for my car. Can we do an auction one of these days?
Oh, we got it. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll definitely set that up. That has got to be the new quest of both a team project of the Fuel Show and the Rick Emerson Show.
Now,
to find you a new car.
Now, would it be too short to have it before Christmas? Because my parents want my sister's car back.
No, I can hook you up with that before Christmas. We'll get down there and find your car. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
All right, excellent. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
Yes, and I do have to say that I tend to make fun of people that can't drive in bad weather, but it is kind of like playing ping pong with a Down syndrome.
Well,
just learn that, just take your time. It's just so frustrating that people get freaked out by this kind of weather. Don't be freaked out. Just be patient.
And plan for the trip. That's the thing. Is just leave earlier.
Yeah.
And especially when you go across the Hawthorne Bridge, for the love of God, don't do it. People drive across the Hawthorne Bridge, they've lived here for 15 years, and when they get to that metal part of the bridge where there's the grating, I mean, they just don't comprehend that you got to drive a little differently. So, all right.
Well, yeah, and then they end up playing bumper ball with their new car.
Yeah, it's true. All right, we will speak with you tomorrow, my friend. Drive safely. We'll talk to you, around 2 o'clock or so tomorrow.
You better.
Cool. There you go. Dennis Pitzenbarger, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir. This is probably Chris on the hotline. We'll get to him in a second. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, here's a fun fact for you. The diesel engine was originally invented to run on peanut oil.
Is that true? I heard that. Somebody told me that.
Yeah. Well, that's what biodiesel basically is. They take, oil. It's basically oil made out of, corn and crap like that.
Yes.
But anyway, what I was wondering is, since you wholeheartedly support sodomy, I was wondering if you like being the sodomy or the sodomer.
The sodomy or the sodom you.
Because I'm guessing if you like to be the sodomy, then your wife's name instead of Laura is probably Larry.
Oh.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Joe.
How long did he wait for that?
Like 14 minutes. Oh, that was worth it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Postman is the person in your
neighborhood. Were you here the other day when that guy, there was actually the wedding announcement in the New York Times that was Adam and Steve?
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Oh, hey, buddy.
How are you doing out there?
It's a little cold out here.
Is it? Now, what is the temperature?
Cold.
Do you not have it? Do you just not wish to know? You don't even want to know how cold it is?
I honestly don't. I know that it's been off and on, snow or mix, hail, sleet, whatever you want to call it. Oh, it's not raining, nothing. dry, but it's just freaking cold right now.
Yeah, you don't sound like you're having a good time of it, my friend.
Well, you know, I got to tell you before we get it, well, you know, you
I got to nothing.
You
got about a minute, Chris.
You got everything, but you didn't punish the listeners, brother, so you were at 60, now you're at 61.
All right, okay. Well, that's not so bad. That's not as bad as I thought it was. Okay.
And I got to tell you, your other listener, if you want it pyramidical in stature, your tree that would have to be 63 feet would need 80,000 cams.
That's not true, really?
And that would only be 5.5 feet at the base, which means, and from an engineer standpoint, it wouldn't stand up.
60,000 cams?
80.
80,000 cans? You're making that up.
No, I think you put the decimal point in the wrong spot.
Seriously, somebody's been out in the cold with that, so your math is flawed.
Nope. I will email you the math later and show you.
Okay, send it to me, too.
If you want it to stand, you'd actually need more like 120.
Okay, but that's only if it's solid. What if it's a hollow pyramid?
Well, if it's hollow, it's much different, but it won't stand up. The wind will knock it over.
What if we
maybe we can make a giant like cone and then glue them to them.
What if we secured the base somehow? What if the bottom level of cans, in other words, was screwed to like a huge piece of plywood as a base?
That, you know, and then you'd have to find a way to secure the plywood. So we could talk.
Why do you got to rain on a brother's parade? I'm trying to make a beer meter here. Why do you have to be all kinds of negative?
I just, you know, I think you could beat the record of 10,000 cans. I just don't know if you're going to be able to get one that's 60 feet high.
You know, you could try some constructive criticism. There's no need to be so relentlessly negative about all these things, my friend.
He gets a pass on this. We're sitting in our warm little studio.
I suppose that is true. It is warm, and it's almost a little too warm in here.
Okay.
Sarah, would you open a window? It's a little too toasty in the studio.
That's just me. All right,
thank you, sir.
Someone throw a snowball through that window.
Thank you, Chris. Enjoy your route to whatever extent that's possible. All right. Sarah Dillon, tomorrow we got to talk about your Amish stories, though, before they get too old.
Okay.
Talk about Amish stories tomorrow. Tomorrow we will punish the listener, because Dennis, actually, this has applicability to Dennis's life as well. Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, Scotty J, Dave Zinn, etc. Like us next. Blah, 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 blah. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Drive carefully and not like an idiot if you can help it. And so forth. And we'll the bastards and the grinding and the hey. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye now.